welcome on to KJF Sports Talk, powered by your local McDonald's. Tasty breakfast fast. Where Egg McMuffin is always made with a freshly cracked egg. Another great reason to wake up to the favorites you love. It is Golf and More with Mike Murphy in studio. Happy to have him, of course, here on this Monday, September 16th. I got several things to talk to you guys about today, including Joaquin Niemann winning the military tribute at the Greenbrier to kick off the 2019 PGA golf schedule. Also to talk about the players' vote for Golfer of the Year, a little controversy, if you will. Also to talk about some local things like football and the like, the Cardinals. So, yeah, we've got a lot of things coming at you today. And, Mike, happy to have you to talk about it all.
Yeah, I turned the TV on, and we had an absence of 2 weeks, but it was really kind of a nice break because it made me appreciate how much I miss golf on TV.
When you go without something for so long, it makes you miss it so much.
But the surprising part to me is the fact that they even said it on TV. There's like 47 weeks that there's tour events. But it goes beyond that. I watched another young man. He's not even 21 years old. You can't even buy a beer at 21 in a lot of states.
Right.
Joaquin Niemann.
Yeah.
I believe he's from Chile, South America.
Mm-hmm. That's what the flag shows, if I remember my flags correctly.
Chile. Oh, yeah. Good. I'm glad we're on the same page. That's good. But anyways, I'm sitting there watching this, and the thing that really caught me off guard, he's had over 40 starts on the PGA Tour.
Yeah.
Think about that.
Yeah, that's a lot.
Yeah.
It's a lot of not winning.
Yeah. But he's 18, 19 years old at some point in time, and he won at 20. And, you know, we had that discussion at the end of the year as to we had 15 first-time winners. I'm not saying that they're 20 years old, but he's another first-time winner. And I don't even want to put a number on that anymore because that's how good our golfers are. And they're coming from all over the world. But he won a tournament by 6 shots, a military tribute at Greenbrier. And really neat victory for him. He talked afterwards, and then it was broken English, so I didn't pick up much on what he had to say, but he was pretty happy about it.
Yeah.
Nice check waiting for him.
Right.
But and then the list of people, if you had the list of the top 5 or 6, I really didn't recognize anybody other than the fact that they're just very good young players that are coming all over the world to play on our tour, and they're successful.
Yeah, the only two I'm familiar with, Harris English and Nate Lashley, because they've...
No, English I am too. Matter of fact, I don't think he made the top 125 on the tour, so that finish will really help him get a little money and put in his pocket and get him going again.
And the FedEx Cup standings restart. So.
Absolutely. But
which I don't imagine there's too many points for this one just because it's...
Yeah.
Because of the field that was involved.
The highlight... You know the highlight trophy of the year for me?
What?
Is this week. It's called the Sanderson
Farms Championship.
Yeah. Do you know what the trophy is?
Uh-uh.
It's a rooster sitting on top of the trophy in golf.
There you go.
Oh, yeah. That's cool. It's one of my favorite trophies. And it's down, it's Sanderson, and it's in Mississippi. But if you could ever see that trophy, it's the only other than the U.S. Open or the Open as we see. But it's a kind of really cool trophy, and it's a rooster that sits on the trophy, and it's a Sanderson trophy.
I'm seeing it now.
Yeah, isn't it cool?
Yeah, they've got different colors for it, too. It's not just like a solid bronze or anything like that.
Absolutely.
It's got, like, black and brown and bronze to it. And, I mean, the heavy part of the trophy is obviously what the trophy itself and what the rooster is standing on, and that thing is bulky and big. So
it is. But that's
really cool looking. Yeah, I can see why you like that.
It caught my eye. And you win that tournament. It's I know a young man won it last year. I don't know if you have the defending champion on there.
That would be Cameron Champ.
Absolutely.
How about that?
Cameron Champ.
The former champion of the Sanders
Cameron
Farms
Champ
Championship.
Won the Rooster last year. But it's a tournament that like I said, I think it's in Jackson, and it's a wonderful tournament sponsored by a really good company. But I have to go a little step further for you. You're going to enjoy this.
Okay.
So I turned my TV on and I watched the golf. And afterwards, the ALLY senior event came on. The LA Championship. ALLY Championship. And it was at a golf course that I'm very familiar with in Grand Blanc, Michigan. For over 50 years, they had the Buick Open. It's just outside of Flint. And they just signed a five-year contract, and the senior tour is going to play there the next 5 years, which was one of the great tour stops back years ago, back in the 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s. And, of course, obviously with GM going bankrupt, Buick no longer sponsored that. But golf has returned to outside of Flint, Michigan, the Grand Blanc, the senior tour. And the reason I'm bringing this up is that I'm going to get ahead of the rumor mill a little bit, but we have a chance here, and my understanding is very close, of having a senior tour event here. And I won't name the golf course where I think it's going to be, but we have a great chance of having a senior tour event, a regular stop like we do in Grand Blanc, here in St. Louis next year, too.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
That'd be so you're going to... So
no.
You might miss a few Mondays for that, huh?
They ain't got no spots for 72-year-olds. No. But what a great event that's going to be. What we need here in St. Louis is an annual event.
Right.
And at least the senior tour event that they're talking about. And I should know something next week.
Okay.
But when I turned the TV on and I watched the end of the tour tournament in West Virginia, I turned the other event on in the Buick Open, and where the Buick Open was played. And what was really neat about it, Matt, I go back to the days that I caddied there, plus I played there as a professional. And the golf course just looked the same. The routing was the same. The trees have gotten bigger. It was fun to watch the event because I knew every hole in the golf course. I caddied for Bobby Nichols there. The day that Arnold Palmer played and the day that Charlie Sifford was the first African-American to play in our country was right there at the Buick Open, and he played there. So I turned it on, and it was really kind of fun to watch. And then on top of that, the fact that it sounds like we will have a chance to have a senior tour event. We're out ahead of everybody on that one, but I'm with somebody that I won't identify that they feel like we're going to get it here. So we'll have the return to Grand Blanc, Michigan at Warwick Hills, and hopefully it sounds like we're going to have a senior tour event here. So golf's coming back to St. Louis, and I think, and I really do feel, the 100-year anniversary of the PGA had a lot to do with stoking that fire a little bit. So,
well, of course it did.
Absolutely.
I mean, the reception from the St. Louis community and mm-hmm. The kind words that the players and hosts of the whole thing had to say about the whole tournament.
When Tiger Woods got on TV and I saw him when I got back home that day, I saw him say, the sooner the better this event turns to St. Louis. I knew that helped put us on the map here. So
yeah,
that'll help.
Yeah, when Tiger Woods says something like that, especially in this area, that's going to
It's like John Wayne in my day. It's like John Wayne.
Yeah.
You know?
Right.
Except he shot cowboys and Indians or whatever. But, yeah, it was...
For drama purposes.
Yeah.
Just to clarify.
But it was a nice event, and I'm looking forward to watching the player win that trophy down there because that's quite a presentation.
Sanderson Farms.
Yeah, Sanderson Farms. But the other thing we need to talk about a little bit is I know I came on air a couple of weeks ago and I said Bruce Koepka won Player of the Year award, and he did. And then they turn around here this past week and said our boy from Ireland, Roy McIlroy, won the PGA Player of the Year award. Well, there's a PGA Player of the Year, and then there's a Players Award. And I have to ask you, and here's where I'm coming from. Bruce Koepka, he wins out of the four majors. He's first, second, and fourth. And then McIlroy wins the FedEx Cup, and of course he wins the Players Championship. And there's a split on national level. The national PGA says Koepka's our Player of the Year, and McIlroy is a Player of the Year by the players. Who's your Player of the Year?
Oh, it's easily Koepka.
Yeah, mine too. Yeah, mine too. I felt Koepka, because of the way he played in the four majors, would be my Player of the Year. But there was a split by the players, and the players voted him in. So it created a little controversy among particularly the players that play the game and, of course, the PGA, which is pretty much they made the announcement that they handled 28,000 golf professionals. And that came out about 2 weeks ago, and then, of course, McIlroy gets the players' vote for Player of the Year. I thought that was interesting.
Yeah, I mean, Brooks Koepka won the vote last year, so
mm-hmm.
you wonder if it's just the players not wanting to award the same guy the same trophy 2 years in a row, or if you know, if something happened where maybe they don't like him, and
that you just hit the nail on the head.
But
I mean,
if you're a player, childish to think that way, though.
Yeah, let's just say you're a player out there, and I got to play against you. All right, and you're a dominant player, particularly last 2 years in the majors. You know, I may have a little chip on my shoulder about you if you're Bruce Koepka. You know, that's how I look at it. You know,
but it seems so petty.
Well, that's life, though. That's everything we do, and everything is we're underneath a microscope today with everything we see and everything we watch. And you know, there's things that I could see why a player would vote for McIlroy. Personally, one gets to be, in my opinion, a popularity contest, and the other becomes facts. And my facts would go to Koepka as 1-2-2-4 in the majors. And
well, that's you hit the nail on the head. It was a popularity thing. It wasn't
exactly
who did the best this year. It was who do we like the most?
Yeah, it'd be like the Astros playing the Yankees or the AL. And where's your vote going to go?
As to who I think is going
to
win.
Who's going to win? Yeah.
Yeah, of course,
Astros. Right. And I'm going to go with the Yankees.
Of course, you would.
Sure, but that's you know, that's who we are. That's who we all are. We all got certain things we enjoy and certain things we like and certain people. And boy, I'm telling you, we voice our opinion today. We got across the board. We can get just about anything.
Now, are you saying McIlroy didn't deserve this award, or are you just saying Brooks Koepka was more deserving?
Brooks Koepka was far, far more deserving. You know, McIlroy, and I tell you the thing, and very bluntly, sticks out in my mind is the fact that he didn't even make the cut in the Open, where, you know, that in Ireland. That if someone said to me, Mike, who are you going to vote for? That's a no-brainer for me, because first of all, I look at all four majors, and then the second thing I look at is he's back in his hometown, didn't make the cut. So, I mean, that'd been an easy vote for me as a player, but it's personal, I'm sure, some of it.
Well, I'll read you what Rory McIlroy was quoted as saying on the award. He said, I think this speaks volumes on what PGA Tour players feel is important. I think players don't just feel 4 weeks a year is important. Of course, he's addressing the four majors.
Uh-huh.
It's a huge vote of confidence that we play for more than what the narrative suggests.
That sounds like somebody that's on his team that wrote that for him, and that's public relations, and so be it. But, you know,
I'm saying that's – I mean, this was a tweet, so, yeah, I guess it could have been, or it could have
– Yeah.
It was tweeted out by Mike McAllister, so I'm guessing Mike McAllister is a reporter for golf.com or something like that,
because
this article came from golf.com, and this quoted tweet – comes from the golf.com story, so I'm guessing he probably actually said that.
We can turn anything on we want and get an opinion that we believe in today. We're so biased about what we believe in.
Yeah.
But as far as pure golf, as far as a player winning the Players' Championship, there's no doubt in my mind that Brooks Koepka was a better player this year. But, you know, you got people sitting out there that are players that probably don't like Koepka. So be it. Way it goes.
Yeah.
Big universe,
I mean,
isn't it?
Honestly, it's like, I mean, if you're Brooks Koepka, you're sitting on the top of the earnings world. I mean, you're making money left and right, and you know who you are as a person. Mm-hmm. There's plenty of people that do like you. You don't necessarily need this award to feel like you've accomplished something.
Exactly.
So that's I would just be like, all right, I'm slightly upset by it, but you know, what the heck? Let's move on.
Let's move on. I agree with that. I want to touch on something before we take a break, and this is much more realistic and serious. And I met a man named Bill Stotler here about a year and a half ago, and I really have never interacted very well in our county with a lot of people because I've never been here that much, even though I've been on the radio. But I heard a lot about Bill, and I had opportunity to meet him about a year and a half ago. And I've heard nothing but kind things and good things about him. And I got to know him very well through a men's prayer breakfast on Wednesday. And he was a true gentleman. He passed away here recently. And I'd like to have you read. They had a beautiful ceremony for him over at the church on Saturday. And I got there at 11 o'clock, paid my respect, and I didn't stay there for the service. But if you could read that, I think many people in the area knew Bill, and I'm going to dearly miss him. I talked a lot to him about the Cardinals. We talked a lot of basketball, and just in summary, a little bit about his life.
Yeah, obviously it's an obituary that I'm sure was very hard to write for his family, but it says here that Mr. Stotler graduated from Bonterre High School in 1958. During his college experience, he played college basketball for Moberly Junior College and Flat River Junior College, and before graduating from Southeast Missouri State University in Cape Girardeau. He was a longtime teacher, coach, administrator for the Dunklin R5 School District. At the time of his retirement, he was the Herculaneum High School athletic director and assistant principal. It goes on to say, in addition, he refereed many volleyball, basketball, baseball, and softball games in the region. He worked many summers at the Teamsters Health Camp in Peavely and was an active member at Good News Community Church of Festus. And then it wraps up with, he will be remembered for being a loving husband, father, friend, and mentor to many.
I had a chance to talk to his wife, Barb, and paid my condolences. And I said, I lost my wife about 4.5 years ago. And I said, it had been a lot easier had I gone. And she just stayed, but it didn't work out that way. And had a nice conversation, lovely, lovely people, good family. He's going to be sadly missed in this area. And his legacy will live long past the next few years of people that met him and the imprint he had in life. A wonderful man.
Very nice words from you there, Mike.
Yep.
All right, so golf and Bill Stotler conversation.
Yeah.
I guess it's time to take a break.
We'll take a break.
We have to take at least one break during the show.
Yeah, there's
can't just let you talk freely forever, Mike.
Well, we got high school football, college football, and Cardinals. We ain't got enough time left. But it's been I really have enjoyed my Fridays. Now I'm not traveling all the way over to Columbia, and I'm really enjoying the Jefferson County football and a little bit of outstate football. I watched my grandson play down I-44, so I'm really getting involved with it and really getting to enjoy it and just how good our football is. We'll talk a little bit about that on the other side.
And we certainly will. We're going to take a break here. It's 4:40. Again, it's KJ Sports Talk with Mike Murphy, Golf and More, powered by your local McDonald's. And welcome back on to KJF Sports Talk, powered by your local McDonald's. Matt Greenwood with you, and of course, Mike Murphy on this Monday, Sports Talk, Golf, and More. Golf is out of the way, so now it's time for the more. And the more includes high school football, little Cardinals baseball, college football as well, of course, the Mizzou Tigers, big winners this weekend. So, Mike, we'll start with the high school stuff, and of course, you attended the Festus North County game.
You've been very fortunate to have broadcast the three games that you had, because you go back to Fox, and you go back to the Windsor-Seckman game, and then you had DeSoto and
Windsor.
Yep. So you've been very fortunate with the three games that you watch. What I'm doing now, which and I'm one of those people. Once I get engaged, I'd like to know what's going around in particularly this high school football. And having watched Fox, I guess Fox got beat Saturday night. Friday night.
Yeah, Friday night. Yeah, they lost to Rockwood Summit.
Yeah, and then, you know, I made the journey down to North County, the first time I've ever been there. And I really looked forward to the game. I couldn't get over how big a lineman that North County had. And they came out and scored right away against Festus, had an onside kick. It's 14-0 after the first 5 minutes.
Wait, they went for an onside kick?
Yeah. North County had an onside kick, and then next thing you know, it's 14-0, and there's 7 minutes left. And I says, oh, my gosh, this is going to be an uphill battle for Festus. And they stopped him, and this kid broke loose. Next thing you know, it's 14-7, and next thing you know, at halftime, I don't remember, it's 35-20-something, but it was a shootout. It was from a spectator standpoint, it was fun to watch, but from a coach's standpoint, it was like a track meet, and you wondered whoever had the ball the last was going to win. And North County scored late in the game, made it 49-40. And then Festus scored the last 3 or 4 minutes of the game, And I said something. I said, Brian, I said, why'd you score the touchdown? He says, well, when it comes to the playoffs and you win by 12 or 13 points, it's additional points.
Yeah, if you win by 13 or more, you get additional points.
Yeah, yeah, because – but I didn't realize that, you know. And they scored with a couple seconds left. And the score is a little deceiving because I thought the game was much, much closer than if you broadcast and you're coming home, it's 56-40. But North County, from an offensive standpoint, so far is the best offensive team I've seen. Now, I know Farmington scored 49 on them, and I also know that Vesta scored 56. But they have the potential to score a lot of points. And fun game to watch.
Yeah.
Fun game to watch. But and I know that you had the DeSoto game, which had to be a lot of fun, too. Give me a little update on how that went.
It was good for the first half for DeSoto. They were up 19-0 at the break, mm-hmm. As I told you. Before we came back on air, Derek Williams for Windsor. I mean, the Owls go as far as he can take them. He got injured midway through the first quarter. He was out the rest of the first half. DeSoto built up that lead. And then, of course, we saw the impact of Derek Williams when he came back. Mm-hmm. They get two touchdowns in that third quarter. They're down by six. DeSoto pulls away. Windsor comes right back. It's a 26-20 game. And fortunately for DeSoto, they were able to move the ball downfield a little bit later on in that fourth, get a field goal to go.
They run the spread, don't they, DeSoto?
Yeah, they run the spread.
The spread. Yeah.
Yeah, four out wide and one guy to the right or the left of the quarterback.
Yeah. I watched that style of football over in Columbia for 15 years, which I really, really enjoy. But, boy, you got to have the athletes to run that type of formation.
And DeSoto does. They really do. But they have inexperienced wide receivers.
I got you. What do you think of the Farmington team, man? They're blowing people out.
Yeah, there's a guy named Royce Harris. And
is he the kid from Potosi, the transfer? There's a transfer from Potosi. No,
he's been there for 3 years now.
Oh, okay. What's his name?
Royce Harris.
Which position does he play?
Running back.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's like running back / quarterback. He'll run some stuff out of the QB spot, too.
Okay. But in that district, it looks like they're the team to beat. Festa's got a good team. But I watched them in a jamboree. I was really impressed with Farmington. And then to watch the scores, over the last couple of weeks. They score a lot of points.
Yeah. Sykeston doesn't appear to be a team that's going to challenge too greatly. I mean, it's hard to determine that because Sykeston has played some really good opponents. McClure North and Poplar Bluff, of course, is always really strong. But, yeah, I mean.
How do you like Hillsboro? What do you see for the Hillsboro-Festus matchup this week, which is a big rivalry?
Well, it's going to be on KJF, so we're happy to have that on. Haven't seen Hillsboro play at all this year. I've just only been able to get those results.
They got beat by Sullivan 6-0 in a rainstorm.
Yeah, lost to St. Charles West by two scores.
And I would assume St. Charles West is a pretty good high school team.
They are. Mm-hmm.
So,
and then Farmington, another very good team, and that
absolutely.
Game was on the road. So, I don't know. It's a rivalry match, so you never know.
Right.
Festus
right.
is on the road, so Hillsboro, I know, will show up and all that stuff. It was a good matchup last year, too. So.
Right, it was. As a matter of fact, Hillsboro won late in the game. Festus was driving, and I forget the kid that fumbled for Festus, and they turn around and score, and then they scored on the kickoff, too. So, but I'm looking forward to it because it's been a great rivalry, and I've never been over the Hillsboro field, and I've heard a lot about the rivalry. I look forward to it, and of course, you'll be over there.
Yep, me and former Hillsboro varsity girls basketball coach Joe Felker.
Well, good.
He helped me broadcast the first 2 weeks, and then due to a schedule conflict, couldn't help me out with Windsor DeSoto. But he'll be back on the mic.
The good news for me is when I get in my car, I'll be able to hear the wrap up.
Yeah.
Huh?
Exactly.
I'll see how accurate you are.
Yeah, we'll see if my voice has come back by Friday.
That'd be good.
That'd be nice.
Yeah, I really enjoyed the watching Jefferson County football here the last couple of years, and kids are tough, boy. They're fun to watch. Got to watch a lot of the college games. You see anything over the weekend that you enjoyed? I did.
I didn't really get much chance to watch. I was sick all weekend, so I pretty much took care of that instead of anything else.
There's the Alabama team played South Carolina away, which they took care of business. If I look at a lot of the teams, I'm trying to think. Clemson blew out Syracuse. There was LSU had a game with a team I don't even remember who it was, but I'm looking forward more this week to the college schedule than I did this past week because you got Georgia and Notre Dame.
Yeah.
And
I don't want to upset your brother, but I don't feel like it's going to be that close.
I got to tell you a true story.
Sorry.
I got a sweater with a Notre Dame logo on it. And you know how big an Alabama fan I am, right?
Right.
So I told my brother that, and he said, "You're finally seeing the light." And I said, "Well, here's the story. When I come back home, John, I'm going to wear my Notre Dame sweater just to make you happy." And he said, "I've been praying for you for years since you've been an Alabama fan." So we had that conversation, but it's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun, no matter here in our county or nationally, whatever team you're rooting for. Plays well, and it's going to be interesting to see how Missouri handles this week too. Do you know who they got on the schedule?
Yeah, they're playing South Carolina.
That to me.
And that's at home too.
Yeah, that to me is going to be an interesting game, and I'm curious to see how they deal with it and how they handle it. Hopefully that Wyoming loss was just kind of, it's in the past and it's over with, and I'd like to see Mizzou have a good year because they got an opportunity in the SEC, and we'll find out something about them this week.
Yeah, I mean, the two teams that they bounced back against for wins weren't really expected to do much. I mean, well, granted, SEMO's a different division. They're the FCS.
No doubt about that. But West Virginia, they've had some good teams here in the past, but they handle them pretty good.
Yeah.
And I'm interested. I'll watch a little bit of that this week, see how they do. But the Notre Dame-Georgia game is going to be a big game for both Georgia. In order for them to say they're number three in the country, I told him, I said, "John, this is as close as I've seen Georgia being able to really be a number one team." So
yeah, I mean, Georgia's opening up as a 13.5 favorite.
And they should be.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I don't think it's going to be that close.
The three teams, of course, it's SEC, but you can't get away from Clemson because they play in the ACC. But when you look in the SEC right now, you got LSU, Georgia, and Alabama right there at 2, 3, 4.
Yeah, and the way LSU beat Texas the way they did and all that stuff. So.
And I'll tell you the other thing, keep an eye on. Jalen Hurts is lighting it up at Oklahoma.
Yeah.
I would give anything to see Oklahoma and Alabama face off 2 or 3, 1 and 4, doesn't matter which number in the playoffs. But he absolutely is lighting it up in that offense. In that line, that Oklahoma line averages 325. There's some big boys down there.
Yeah.
So it's interesting to see.
And OU's fifth ranked in the nation too. So.
Oh heavens, he's if the kid from Oklahoma was there last year, that's the Heisman Trophy winner. There's no comparison to me between Hurts and Murray, honestly. Hurts is just that much better. But we'll see. But every time Oklahoma's on, I love watching Jalen play because I thought he. In the last year and a half, 2 years, became one of the better passers, and he can run. He's a tough kid, so I like the Oklahoma team to watch, too, the rest of the year.
By the way, Mizzou, with that South Carolina game, with the SEMO and West Virginia games all being at home, the next three are at home for Mizzou. So they get South Carolina, Troy, and then Ole Miss at home. Okay. So. They should be winning the next three games.
We'll keep an eye on them.
And then they're at Vanderbilt. Vanderbilt's not much to deal with.
And for the Missouri fans, I hope they do well.
Yeah, you know. Kentucky could be tough on the road.
Kentucky. Now that was a game I watched with Florida. That was head and shoulders. Kentucky actually outplayed them till the last 5-6 minutes, and then Florida beat them. And Florida's kind of a question mark in my mind as how good they are, but Kentucky really gave them a good game. They beat them for the first time in over 30 years last year.
Yeah.
Kentucky did.
Well, and Florida lost their quarterback, though.
He got hurt. And honestly, the other kid that came in and scored 19 points helped them win. The backup came in and helped them win. So,
I mean, by the time Florida plays Mizzou on November 16th in Columbia – maybe that Florida quarterback, the new guy, will be up to speed and all that stuff, and that'll be a good test for Mizzou. Or he won't be, and maybe Florida will be on their third-string guy, and Mizzou can make a statement victory there.
The one thing the SEC has over everybody, they got a lot of depth.
Yeah.
Before we get off the air, let's talk about our Cardinals just a little bit. They're two games back.
Okay.
They're two games up on the Cubs, three games up on Milwaukee, but that was a very difficult loss to take. I've never seen anything like it. You had three walks. You had bases loaded. You had a 3-2 count. Two outs, ninth inning. and Mr. Braun hits a grand slam against us.
Yep.
That was a tough loss.
Yeah.
So, you know, they got Washington coming in. They got seven with the Cubs, and they got three with the Diamondbacks. What is your best guess on the next 13 games? You think they're going to hold on to the lead or not?
I think they will.
Do you?
I think Milwaukee just had a good Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the Cubs had a really bad Sunday with Anthony Rizzo potentially missing the rest of the season. So with that in mind, I mean, I know Carlos Martinez is going through some health issues, but if he's right, they're not really losing much.
They needed him yesterday.
Yeah. Right.
You know, I got to bring this up. And Whitey Herzog got beat by the Yankees 2 years in a row for the American League Championship. He said, I'll never go another season without a closer. That's how important that role is. Matt, there's not many guys that can step up and get you those last three outs. And it showed yesterday.
Yeah. I mean, Carlos is not a sure thing anyway.
I agree with you.
But he's a better chance.
He's a better option, isn't he?
Yeah, than Junior Fernandez.
I mean, when you and there's no knock on the two young players that are in there, but that's a tough job to try to close a game. And we kind of saw that in action yesterday. And we'll see what happens. Hopefully, you know, he gets healed up or whatever he's from, because they're going to need Carlos. He's a much better choice than what we saw finish that game yesterday.
Yeah. That's all the time we have, Mike.
Oh.
Thanks for coming in.
I'll see you Friday night.
Sounds good. Don't forget, Festus Hillsboro football this Friday night on KJF.